Look, the biggest podcast where you can learn them lessons. Line for line where you can learn from different sections. Made it out the mud, come tell your story, blessings. Never know who listening, never know who stressing. Devon gave you a voice, come speak your honest truth. Line for line, go ball for ball, it's up to you. Wanna talk sports, gov, and politics. Wanna talk about where you from and your accomplishments. The line for line is really where you need to be. A platform that's really made for folks like you and me. You can find it all no matter what you seek. Whether you calling or you listening, tune in every week.
All right, we are back on Kenosha's most listened to, most watched podcast. I have two special guests in the building today, you know. I got a very tall woman who makes me feel insecure about my height, you know what I'm saying? As soon as I got to look up to her to talk to her, you know what I'm saying? I got Sydney Cooks in the building. Sydney, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
I see we got another special guest in the building too. I'll let you introduce yourself because I don't want to slaughter your name, sir.
Yes, I'm Monty Nelson.
Yeah.
Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir. Kenosha in the building. Stand up. How y'all doing today on this Monday?
Good. We got some work in earlier, so we good, relaxed now.
Yeah. Definitely appreciate it. So we'll dive right into this. Can you just tell me a little bit about you? Just tell me who you are for the listeners at home.
All right. I'm Sydney Cooks. My mom's name is Sonia Cooks, father Jimmy Cooks. We have probably one of the biggest family in Kenosha.
Yeah.
My dad has 12 siblings. So
it's
a lot of us.
Is he from the South? Sorry to cut
you
off.
Yes, he is.
That's like the running thing. Like the Southern families, they have like all of those.
They came from Mississippi. So we kind of have that little Southern swing to us a little bit. I have two older brothers, JaVale and Sheldon. Sheldon is 6'7", so he's the biggest of all of us. Been playing since I was 4 years old, kind of learned from my brother, watching him growing up. I'm very competitive, so kind of seeing him, I'm like, I want to do that. I could do stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
So they put me in sports really early. I played basketball, softball. I played instruments growing up.
Oh my gosh, what instrument did you play? Clarinet?
No. I did piano lessons for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then my dad plays the guitar. He like builds them and stuff now for a hobby. So a little bit of that, the bass, and then the bassoon throughout elementary and middle school. So a little bit of, you know, extra stuff just to help me aside of basketball. And very busy childhood. Traveled all over. Big shout out to my parents for that. So and they've got me to where I am now for sure.
So what age was it when you realized that basketball was your thing?
Ooh, maybe like 10. I know I started playing for an AAU team out in Milwaukee called the ABC Knights. And I know I was probably in like sixth grade, and I really noticed like, oh, I could run with the high schoolers, and I would play tournaments with them and like actually play and do pretty good. So that's when it started really showing, like, okay, basketball. And I like softball more than basketball. Let me say that.
Okay.
I loved softball. I was first baseman. I was the fourth hitter. Like I was going to knock it out every time. But sixth grade, scholarships started coming. Purdue University was the first school to offer me. And from then on, my parents was like, yeah, that's going to be the one that gets you money. So
oh, my gosh. So would you say having older brothers definitely helped you a lot as well, too, out there playing with guys? Because you got to think, when you're playing with a girl, especially when it's your family members, too, they're not holding back. They're treating you just like you're one of the people on the court as well, too, you know?
Yes, for sure. I mean, already kind of growing up, you have to be tough when you have two older brothers. Like you just can't let them bully you around and stuff. So I naturally kind of had that. But then majority of my childhood was playing against just guys, just going to the YMCA and getting up and down with them. And shout out to them for letting me get in games with them and actually passing the ball and not, you know, playing light just because I was a younger female or anything like that. So yeah, big shout out to them because they helped a lot.
So this question here is going to stir the pot. No disrespect to you, my guy, but you versus Sheldon 1v1. Who's taking the dub with that?
I got it.
Stop playing.
I got it in the bag.
No way.
I got it in the bag. Oh, and he knows that now. He definitely knows that. If maybe like 3 years ago you asked me that, I'd be like, I would be a little neck and neck. But yeah, I got him. I got you.
No way. Oh my gosh. Okay. So what would you say like the best piece of advice that was given to you from a young age just regarding basketball?
Well, I think my parents just, height wise, I hit my growth spurt in third grade. I was always big, but third grade, I really sprouted up. And I think my parents really installed a confidence in me that was like, you know, people are going to look, they're going to stare, they're going to talk their little mess. I mean, when I was playing CYC, we had to get me a, what was it, like a mini license, a little ID made because parents would get so upset and think I was older than everyone. I'm like, I'm the youngest one on the court. Little do y'all know, I'm just huge. Mm-hmm. So I think with them giving me the confidence that they did at a young age, it really has helped me to now to focus on, you know, having, you have sacrifices. I've missed a lot of things, but I have no regrets to it because if I didn't miss those things, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Yeah.
So I definitely think just staying focused has been my biggest thing, and my support group has been amazing. Yeah. So can't go wrong when you got good people around.
Who would you say some of your supporters slash role models are?
Definitely my parents. Now I gotta keep talking about them. Yeah, they've been married 29 years now. So just come from a two-parent household is really, I'm very blessed for that. My grandparents are, they're trying to learn the game. I mean, they're big supporters. Like I said, my trainers, I don't really work out with a lot of people in Kenosha. But this guy right next to me has, every time I am home, he knows I'm coming home. He makes sure that I'm in the gym. Yeah. And I respect that. And I have a totally different respect level for him and the work that he puts me through to get me to where I need to be. So. Yeah.
So, like, with a lot of players, obviously, focus on elevation. A lot of those players have to take those trips. So let's say Houston, Miami, New York, just to find the ideal trainer for them and to cater to their needs to help their game evolve. How blessed and lucky would you say that you have a trainer right here in good old Kenosha?
Oh, it is amazing because, like I said, really my whole AAU experience, I was driving out to Milwaukee every day to practice and it was a hassle, but I'm grateful that my parents kind of learned the system to say, like, we'll drive out here every day if it means that we can get you noticed and all that. So now that I can kind of, I know myself, I know what I need to work on, and I can call him and say, you know, I'm gonna be home in a week, you know, for this new school, let's make sure I get these jumpers. I got to get these 100% right. Yeah. He's like, oh, I already got the drill set up. Just show up.
Let's
1 o'clock, we're good.
Yeah.
And I could pull up and we're getting the work in. Is such a blessing to have that.
What would you say your favorite thing about this guy is?
Definitely the personality, because he like doesn't really raise his voice, but like will get on you in a way that will motivate you and like hype you up. I'm kind of an emotional player. I like to show my emotion when I'm playing. I'm the hype woman, like all of that. So then having a trainer that can also install that into me, it gives me other leadership qualities to give off to my teammates when I go back to school.
Toughest part about this guy now?
Sometimes we just keep going and going and going and going until it's perfect, which that is tough, but it's good too, because it's making sure that it is perfection. And it could be the simplest thing, a pull-up jumper, one dribble pull-up.
Yeah.
We're going to do it 14 times until it's correct.
Like, what would you say your method behind that is, sir?
Just being a perfectionist, you know, I want profession from them. And with me studying the game and you know, wanting the players to get better, if, you know, their feet don't look right or something like that, you know, we got to continue to do this thing, because in the game, you won't have that much time, you know. So if you use your feet, you know, a certain way, you'll probably be able to get this jumper off or something like that. And you know, if it doesn't look right, we're going to do it over.
Sounds about right. Now, we know most players, coaches, everyone that's involved in the basketball game, they're students to the game, you know. And with me hearing so much about you, did you know that this young lady would be what she is standing before us today?
Yes.
And if so, when was it that you knew?
Probably around her seventh grade year.
No, oh my gosh.
Seventh grade. She was playing, I think, at Washington. And she was just dominating all the other little girls.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, not just because she was bigger than them, she had skill. So it separated her a lot. And of course, they won almost if not every game they played.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reason was because of her.
Yeah, that's what's up. Now, what's your method like approaching a player like this who you see the greatness in them? Not saying you show favoritism or anything like that, but just what's your methods behind seeing someone that you know is just special? Because some people are born just with it in them.
Yeah. For them, personally, to keep stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Sid is, you know, she was great without me. So when you get a player like her, you want to keep her humbled and keep her hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times kids could get complacent, you know, so they don't reach their full potential. And a lot of trainers, you know, they'll look at a kid like Sid and, you know, probably not want to get on her as hard just because of the stature of the player. But, you know, I'm pushing her. I'm on her. I want her to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, so those type of things.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. We need more people like you. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure you've worked with a lot of players as well, too, you know, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I heard you got two really good boys as well, too, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Just seeing like your hard work transition into this?
Man, it's been a blessing. You know, my kids and Sid and Shelnae kind of all grew up together. And my kid, my youngest kid, and Sid was two of the most highly touted basketball players out of Kenosha. Like, coaches wanted these kids. So, you know, it's been a blessing, man, to see where both came from. My oldest son wasn't, you know, recruited like they were, you know, but he put in the work. He was a junior college ball player, averaged 27 points a game.
Oh, wow. Like
second in the country in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he ended up landing a Division I scholarship at Presbyterian.
Nice.
Is college.
That a prep academy?
Presbyterian,
excuse me.
It's a school down in South Carolina. And my youngest, he's still in junior college right now. We're working on some things to actually get him going as well. But, you know, he was Bradford's all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, oh, wow.
He's third behind. No, Sid, what number are you in the county?
I'm two now.
Sid is two. My son is number four.
Yeah.
He's number two for boys. So she's number two for girls. He's number two for boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like I said, it's just been a blessing, man, just being around the younger kids, you know, helping them grow and things like that. And, you know, just being able to be there, being a father, you know, a day one father. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit for these kids.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Now we can take a walk back down memory lane. You know what I'm saying? Kenosha native in the building. Is that correct? You know?
Yes, yes.
What is it about Kenosha that you like, that you love so much?
Ooh, the fact that I like have so much family here.
Mm-hmm.
All of my family is here. So there's not a corner that there is not a Cook's on the block.
Yeah.
And the support is crazy. And you know, some of them, they don't even know anything about basketball.
Yeah.
But when I come home to see my little cousins, like, are you still playing basketball? And I'm like, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Can you teach me? Absolutely. It's a wonderful feeling. I also think just the people taking their time to get to know me outside of just basketball. I've had a lot of opportunities. I know that when I get my master's, if I come home and I need a job, it's not going to be a problem at all, because there's been so many great people who have just tried to get to know me for me. And then kind of doing public school and then going to private school for high school, I think also helped my circle know how to communicate with different people and just really expanded just me as a person. I've got to know so many great people throughout St. Joe's, and then so many great people throughout the public school systems as well. So the support from Kenosha, I mean, I have my own day here.
Yeah. Hey,
let's go. It's like June 12th or something like that. Yeah. But like, it's been great. Like, the support is amazing.
The key to the
for
city,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I hope.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about St. Joe's. You know what I'm saying? You were, oh my gosh, I remember hearing your name so much. You know what I'm saying? At St. Joe's basketball. Can you just tell us a little bit about your time there and your experiences there on the court? You know?
Right. So St. Joe's kind of was like never in my head. Like,
because
I was at Washington Middle School, and then instantly I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to go to Bradford because I live around the corner from
the
there.
Red Devils.
And then my very first coach ever, CYC, all of that, Lynell Collins, got the head. He was a head coach at St. Joe's. Mm-hmm. So after kind of talking around, then one of my close friends, and we played AAU together, she's like, yeah, I'm going to St. Joe's. So it was like everyone that I very first started playing with was there. Yeah. So I'm like, watch, let me go there. Why not?
Yeah.
So freshman year, we had a really good season, and it just every year we built up like it, and I definitely did not do it by myself. Like mm-hmm. when we went to state, that was one of the funnest, best teams, most talented teams in Kenosha mm-hmm. by landslide.
Yeah.
We all were hard workers. Like we got it done on the court, no matter what, we were going to get it done. I do think that we didn't get as much respect when it came to leaving our county for mm-hmm. sure. But that comes with being the best team, the best players in the city. So yes, we were able to understand it and try to go as far as we could.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately did not win state, but yeah. just being able to get somewhere where people have dreamed of going, yeah. have not went in years was enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You racked up a bunch of accolades. What year was it when you finished St. Joe's?
2017.
Yes. And then was it Michigan State?
Yes.
I think I know a little bit about
it. You're good.
A little bit more credit. You know what I'm saying? What was it like there at Michigan State?
Yeah. So I ended up picking Michigan State because I thought they were a very versatile team in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. They were 6 hours away from here. So I'm like, okay, they're close enough. If anything happens, I can just come back home, mm-hmm. But far enough for me to learn how to be an adult.
Yeah.
And it was really between Michigan State and Michigan.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had like a lot of people decisions, were like, Michigan. Yeah, and I'm like, why? Out of every school that has offered me, I want to pick the rivals, right? Yeah. So my experience there was really good. My freshman year and sophomore year, I did really well, double-digit scoring. But I just kind of wanted something more. I kind of wanted a different style of play. Mm-hmm. I felt like I wasn't playing as many positions that I could. Growing up, I've always been known for Sydney wants to bring the ball up. Sydney's going to post up. She's going to shoot a three jumper. Like she's going to pass. Something's going to happen. And, I just thought I was not being the best player that I could be there. So leaving there, it was hard leaving my teammates. Every place I've been, I've had great teammates, mm-hmm. And the coaches as well. Susie Merchant was super supportive to this day. She still checks in, and I feel like that speaks volumes about mm-hmm. a coach, you know, because sometimes when you do leave, it becomes awkward and stuff like that. But I still get love from Michigan State. I still have love for them. It was a good experience. It taught me how to grow up. Yes, so. Yeah.
So it was 2 years
at Michigan State. Yes, my first 2 years.
So you finished there around 2019?
Yes.
Okay. So 2019, I do know that was another big milestone where you got mm-hmm. to represent the United States for the U.S. games, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that and just what it was like going through that, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I was actually out to eat with my Seton Hall coaches yesterday and they mm-hmm. were asking me the same thing.
Yeah.
So I played for the USA 3-on-3 team.
Okay.
I'd never heard anything about it. I just get a random email. My mom's like, yeah, they want you to play mm-hmm. overseas right now. So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
So I go to Colorado to train for about 2 weeks. During those 2 weeks, it's also another trial session for the actual national team.
Oh, snap.
So we were doing 3-on-3 drills like the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's conditioning. Let me say that. I was in the best shape that I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I think I learned so many different angles and stuff about the game just by playing 3-on-3. So I ended up going to Kazakhstan, a place I never even heard of, mm-hmm. to be completely honest. So did some research on them. And it was beautiful. Like, I loved it. We were in a great hotel. The people were so friendly, like, walking around with our USA gear. They're honking and they're waving. Don't know what language they're speaking, but they're super, super nice. And then we ended up losing to France in the championship.
That's all,
so.
Yeah.
got a silver.
Yeah. Something's always better than nothing. Hard work never goes unnoticed, you know? Exactly. So this is 2017, 2018. And is this leading you into Mississippi State?
Actually, this is before I went to Michigan State. This is right that summer, right before I went
to
Michigan
State. This is before Michigan State. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
And then after Michigan State, where did you go?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Yes, another MSU.
Yeah, what was it like there?
Oh, so Mississippi, for one, it's kind of funny because like I said, my dad, they're all from Mississippi.
Yeah.
But my dad is one that he's like, well, I just tell people I'm from here. Like, I don't really tell them. So we went to visit and those people, all the fans knew who I was like before I got off the plane.
Yeah.
They're, oh, you're coming on your official visit. I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. Yeah. So they were super nice, like the best hospitality I have ever experienced. Mm-hmm. I went there, Vic Schaefer was coaching at the time. They had just went to the Elite Eight, all that good stuff. So the hype is real. Starkville, Mississippi loves women's basketball for sure. It's like baseball, women's basketball, and then like everyone else.
Yeah.
So they're super invested in our life. So it wasn't hard for me to like, this is home. Yeah. Let me commit here. So I sat out a year. I had a red shirt due to the transfer rule. Mm-hmm. And I really learned a lot in his system, was feeling comfortable, felt like I had gained a lot of confidence. I had a great relationship with my teammates, with the coaches. They had another good year. Then COVID hit.
Oh my gosh. Don't say that.
There goes the tournament. So I think that team really would have went far in the tournament that year.
Yeah.
So then few months in and we kind of get a call that he has gotten a head coaching job at Texas. So for me, I was extremely sad because I'm like, oh dang, like I just got here. Yeah. And like, but it's a part of the business. So the older you get, the more you understand that. So I was like, okay, it's fine. So Nikki McCray then gets hired. She has a great resume. We're super excited. My teammates and I, we all like promised each other, like, let's give it a year. Everyone give it a year, see how it goes. And then if you had to make any decisions after that, that's fine. Yeah. But let's just say that we stuck it out together. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it was definitely an adjustment. We were, I want to say, top five team in the country. And with adjustments, you know, it's change. That's the whole theme of the season was just change. We were getting used to her. She was getting used to us. And I didn't think I performed the way I needed to perform for this last season. So, you know, I kind of gave myself a look in the mirror. I was like, do you really want to go to the league one day? Is this what you want to do? And the answer is yes. So I said, you know, I had to change some things up, which is now what's leading me over to Seton Hall University.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just tell us a little bit about, because not everyone gets to, like, know what it's like, you know, to be an athlete, a D1 athlete at that. But just tell us what it's like once those lights come on and you're on the court, you know, and you're part of the team, you know what I'm saying? You're part of something bigger, you know? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a job. Yeah. I always say, like, this is a job. This is how I get my money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-time job. You know, on game days, it's not like everything just stops. You're still going to class. You might get out 10 minutes early, but you better not be late to shoot around.
Mm-hmm.
You have shoot around for an hour or two. That's intense. Mm-hmm. It's not a walk in the park. You know, you have pregame. You discuss the scout. You maybe have 2 hours to relax. You don't want to get too tired.
Yeah.
And then it's game time and you need to be on the floor hour 30 before the ball gets in the air.
Yeah.
So when those lights come on, it's business in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sucks because you can't make every shot. You can't block every shot.
Yeah.
And I feel like D1 players take that so personal, not just D1, but just college athletes, period. You take it personal because you know that's your bread and butter. That's how you're going to sleep at night is, oh, I had a good game. You know, and even if you weren't the top scorer, as long as you did your job the best that you could do it, that helps me sleep at night.
Yeah.
And so when I know I didn't do that, not only am I mad at myself, but then you're hearing everybody else's opinion on it. And like I said, our fans, they're super invested. So it's a good thing. When it's going good, it's great. You love it. But when it's going bad, They get you.
They love you they when get you up, you. But when you're down,
for nothing. Sure.
What are some things that gets Sydney ready, like, for the game? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it headphones? What is it? Just take us a little bit through your pregame
ritual.
I'm
probably
basically
the hyper one, to be honest. Like, I have my moments. I'll, like, sit and watch SpongeBob, and that's my calm. Like, that's me being calm is watching SpongeBob, right?
Yeah.
But I'm normally the one who gets on the ox, and I'm like, yeah, we're about to play, and, like, just getting everybody up. Don't try to go to sleep at all. My dad has this big pet peeve of me. Like, in high school, I would go take a nap right before the game. And he's like, you play bad every time you take a nap. So in college, I stopped taking naps before games. I'm usually the one bumping the music, getting everyone up. We're having dance battles. We're just getting warm before we get out there.
What are some music? What's some music that you listen to before a game?
Oh my gosh, I'm so lame. I listen to everything. Like, I will listen to some country music. I'll listen to R&B. I probably listen to R&B the most. Or just like some old school stuff. I'm a huge Snoop Dogg fan. So, like, I'll be blasting old music for no reason. Like, everyone on the bus will be like, yo, Sid, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, you don't know nothing about this. Normally that, nowadays music, like Lil Baby, will probably have my heart right now.
Let's go. Oh my gosh, let's go. So, like, with it being Michigan State, Mississippi State, you came through some great programs, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What are some things that you're going to take away from both of those experiences and bring them to Seton Hall?
Well, for one, I really was reflecting on the other day, and I was like, it's a crazy blessing with the way that the transfer portal was for women's basketball this year to still be able to go to a very good high Division I school. A lot of people will get in the transfer portal and expect it, you know, to go to a bigger school, and they fill up. It doesn't mean that you're not good. They just might not have any more spots. And that's even happened to me, being a number five player for my class. So just really sitting and thinking about that, and like, wow, it's a great experience to, like, be able to just travel. For one, I'm going to New Jersey. I've never been to Jersey in my life.
You gotta come back with an accent saying Jersey.
I've never been there. I wouldn't have been in Mississippi if it didn't come down to basketball. Then my mom is from Holland, Michigan, but would I have ever thought you'll be living in Michigan for 2 years? Absolutely not. So I think just the things I've learned from both of those schools is just maturity and being confident. At both schools, I felt like I was a leader, definitely on and off the court. I want to bring that leadership over to Seton Hall. I feel like I don't really have a choice either, because I am older. I'm going to be 24, hitting 25 by the time I'm done with college basketball. There's no reason to be childish anymore, you know? So just really thinking, processing, okay, what did I not like about Michigan State? Okay, fix that. What did I not like about Mississippi State? All right, fix that. It's all about me and what I can fix for myself. I don't want to blame it on their programs, because it wasn't that. It's just me reflecting, doing what I need to do, so that when I step on the floor at Seton Hall, it's like there is no excuse. This is your last 2 years. You have to leave it all out, or it's done.
Now, do you have league dreams?
I do.
Yeah,
I do, for sure. That's always been my thing. You know, I try to be as humble as I can, but I'm like, man, you know, you're a bucket. Like, go to the
walking
league.
Walking bucket.
And,
let's go.
And I also get really motivated, because for those USA teams, McDonald's All-American, Jordan Brand, all my teammates are in the league right now.
Oh, snap.
And I'm like, dang, Sid. Like, it's okay. Different journeys, different stories. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it gives me confidence to know, like, I played with her. Yeah. I started with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she made it.
Yeah.
That's so dope. Now it's my time to make it. Yeah. I'll see you up there. That's what I always say. I'll see you there eventually.
Now, as we get ready to close out, what would be, like, the number one thing you would say to kids aspiring to be just like you, and even if their road to success is tough and bumpy?
I would say just discipline. I would also say You know, if you do get to the college level, understand that it's business. You can't take things personal. Mm-hmm. Once you take things too personal, then you start to hold yourself back instead of climbing to the next step.
Yeah.
Everybody's story is different. Don't look to the person to your right and left and expect the exact same thing, because it's never going to be that. It could be your best friend. It'll never be the exact same story.
Yeah.
And then just going back to the discipline, you have to sacrifice things. You can't go to every party.
Yeah.
You know, you have to still do good in school. You have to listen to mom and dad, even though they probably never played a lick of basketball or a sport in general in their life. They're still watching you, and they're still putting their time and effort into making you the best human that you can be.
Yeah.
So like I said, I'm so blessed for my parents, because they have installed all of this into me. So any little girls, any little boys out here looking to play, just put your heart into it and mean it. Yeah. Don't be halfing it here and there. Mean it, work on it, and you'll get to where you need to be.
Now they see you up, ain't never held it down, yeah, yeah. Back and forth, taking them trips, it's going down, yeah. It's going down, yeah. It's going down, yeah. It's going down, yeah. Yeah.
I can see it all. Billboards in the plex, pool with the mansion, account full of wrecks, podcast preaching, reaching for the stars, coops all foreign air, week of home massage. I can't speak for y'all, this was a dream I've been discovered. Last people try to stop it, I don't think that they recovered. Know my haters mad, they never seen it done with ease. Chase the dream and not the cheese, that's when you hustling with means. Ay, dream big, be there for you when you alone and cold. God got your back, don't let them sell you what they never told. Hard work can get you things that you ain't never searched. Cause with the latest them prayers answered that you said in church. What you know about